The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio, and it is the Top 4 at 4, brought to you this afternoon by MyBookie. Jake Lester, drop some knowledge on us, my friend.
Number 1. UT guard Trey Smith was named the SEC Co-Offensive Lineman of the Week for his part in Tennessee's 20-10 win against the SEC West Mississippi State Bulldogs at Neyland Stadium on Saturday. According to the SEC's release, Smith was Tennessee's highest-graded offensive lineman in the game and totaled 11 knockdown blocks while helping the Vols rush for 190 yards, their highest total against a Power 5 opponent this season.
All right, so we're halfway through the Trey Smith is going to practice, you know, only no contact practice and just show up and play on Saturday's experiment. It's going well. I think he probably had to knock the rust off.
He's not having contact in practice at all?
I would imagine not if he's on blood thinners.
Blood thinners?
Jeremy.
Thank you. No, they've got – that's why they're practicing on Sundays, I think, is so that he can practice a little bit as he's coming off the blood thinners, and then I think he goes back on them later in the week, and they've adjusted their practice schedule to accommodate him.
Right.
But anyway, do you think that Trey Smith will be back next year?
No.
Probably not.
The thing I wonder about his future is, you know, he's good enough to where, like, we can afford to do that for him. Wherever he goes in the NFL, he's going to have to practice during camp. And
there's other guys that they've had in the NFL with this same problem that they've been able to manage it for a period of time.
But not that – I don't know. I don't know that. There's one
yeah,
guy,
no, there
one
is.
Guy, I know who you're talking about. The guy from the Bengals retired. The guy from the Patriots is not playing this year. I don't know what Russell Okung with the Chargers – last I heard, he hasn't been playing. So I don't know that anybody has done what Trey Smith is doing, going on and off blood thinners. As far as I know, he's the only athlete and the only football player to do that that's ever tried anything like this. So,
well, most of the like the NBA wouldn't let Bosch try it, NASCAR wouldn't let Vickers do it. I don't know. Maybe he will come back. Does he have his degree yet?
I don't know.
Number 2, the Los Angeles Kings, that's a hockey team for those of you that are wondering, aren't taking any chances with the Taylor Swift curse. After winning the Stanley Cup in 2012 and 2014, the Kings have not gotten out of the first round of the playoffs since a banner commemorating Swift's sellout streak at Staples Center was raised in August 2015. The team is trying to shake it off by covering the banner with a black cloth, leaving a blank space in the rafters. The connection to our fans.
So they're just covering it up?
Yeah.
Well, just take it down. It's a stupid banner. Like, what? She doesn't play there. Like, you put a banner up when one of your teams or one of your stars does something. You don't put a banner up for some touring artist had a landmark concert.
She gets on my damn nerves. I saw her on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Take the dang thing down, man.
I don't like her.
She has one more banner in the Staples Center than the Clippers do.
Ah, man. Jake Lester, ladies and gentlemen, hitting on all cylinders this afternoon.
Number 3, Texas Tech Athletic Director Kirby Hokut said Sunday that the Big 12 acknowledged that officials made an incorrect call in overtime of the Red Raiders' loss to Baylor on Saturday. In the first overtime of Baylor's 33-30 win over Texas Tech, a snap from Bears center Jake Frumorgan hit his rear end and fell to the turf and was recovered by the Texas Tech defensive tackle Jalen Hutchings. The officials blew the play dead quickly and penalized Baylor with a false start for an illegal snap. Baylor then went on to win the game in the next overtime. Big 12 has since issued a statement saying that this is in fact a live ball fumble and not an illegal snap. However, it is not a reviewable play.
Wow. I was actually watching that game as it went to overtime, And then something happened and I had to leave. I don't even Baylor won.
Yep.
And there was some controversial call that went against Texas Tech.
Better than the Vols, for once. Number four.
Better than us, yes.
Number four, Monday Night Football tonight showcases the Detroit Lions traveling to Lambeau Field on the frozen tundra to take on the Green Bay Packers tonight at 8:15 on ESPN. The Packers are 3.5-point favorites, according to MyBookie.
Actually, 4-point favorites now. I don't know if that went up. Let's bring in Christopher Smith from MyBookie for more on that. Christopher, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you fellas doing up in Knoxville?
Hey, we're doing well. Getting ready for Monday Night Football tonight, a classic black and blue division slugfest at Lambeau. And yeah, before we get into some of the props, do you like the betting line or the over under tonight?
I definitely like the Lions and the under in this game. The only problem is it was Lions plus 6 and 47 just a couple days ago. So I think one way that I'm considering playing it is to do a 6-point teaser on both of those sides. So if you're at plus 4 now, you would tease it to plus 10 on the Lions. And then I think the over-under, you would tease it. It would be somewhere around 51.5 or 52 on the teaser there. So if you put those two together, Lions plus 10 and under 51.5 on a two-team 6-point teaser, that's how I would probably play this game.
Interesting. Lions big underdog, but some of that money evidently coming back their way. Any good prop bets tonight that you'll be looking at?
Well, I also think you know, even though I like the Lions to keep it close or to keep it within double digits in this game, I think the Green Bay Packers defense has been outstanding this season. And obviously Aaron Rodgers is the big name quarterback, which is why you're seeing a huge divide between the sharps who are on the Lions and the average Joes who are on the Packers. But I think the Packers defense really deserves a ton of credit for what they've done early in the season under the new coaching staff. So I would probably take a look, especially at Matthew Stafford or some of the receivers, and see on Detroit and see if I could get a good number to go under there, because Green Bay's secondary has been night and day compared to what it was last year.
All right, very good. And you guys had that Survivor contest we were talking about last week. That's open until the game kicks off tonight, right?
That's correct. You have another, 4 hours or so, basically, to enter into a contest that's free to enter and that you can win $50,000 if you win. So it's essentially like a free $50,000, a free chance at 50K, and all you have to do is first pick the winner of tonight's game if you weren't in it or in the contest already, and then, you know, the rest of the season just pick one winner in the NFL every week.
Well, that'll be a good one to keep track of. Chris, anything else we need to be aware of over at mybookie.ag?
If you have not gotten in to this point, we're down to the last few little bit for the 100% deposit bonus. It's running out. It'll be over like any day now. So if you haven't gotten in already and you're thinking about doing so, as we get into, you know, basketball, NBA, college basketball with the Vols, now is a great time to go ahead and get in before that runs out.
All right, very good. Christopher, always appreciate it. I'm sure we'll check back in with you on Thursday getting ready for the upcoming weekend in college and pro football.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. That's Christopher Smith, MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag to take part in the festivities. Over there, we get hour number two of the drive started off. And speaking of the week coming up, of course, Tennessee and Alabama is the game. What is the 3:30 CBS game this week? Is that South Carolina, Florida?
I'm all confused now because I saw next week's games have been
announced. Yeah, no, that's what I'm looking at right now. I'm pretty disappointed, man. 4 o'clock for the Carolina game? That sucks.
It's almost always a night game, isn't it?
That should be a night game. Should be a night game, man. Let Missouri and Kentucky play at 4 o'clock on SEC Network. Auburn LSU is the 3:30 CBS game next week, week after the, this coming week. So that's going to be – I mean, that's going to be a colossal matchup, right? Assuming neither of those teams takes a loss this week, that's going to be a huge game in Death Valley. And,
the 3:30 CBS for this week is LSU at Mississippi State. Terrible.
Brutal.
Terrible game.
Why don't they just do our game? I mean, those games are both going to be beatdowns. You might as well have a couple of marquee
traditional
matches.
Rivalry. Yeah.
I felt like they definitely should have put South Carolina-Tennessee at night.
Yeah.
The spread on that game for LSU-Mississippi State is LSU 19.5. I would definitely put my money on LSU.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just disappointing personally for me because that – But I guess we'll play the chickens at 4 p.m. on a Saturday. Let's see, we'll have about a 7:30 voluntary reaction start. Probably be a close game, big game. If Tennessee loses. It's weird, man. The losses, like voluntary reaction didn't go nearly as long as I thought it would Saturday. It's like people... We get way more phone calls. It goes way longer when Tennessee loses.
Yeah, makes sense. People are pissed.
And it's like we beat Mississippi. Everybody's like, oh, we beat Mississippi State. That's good.
Bet you it would have gone a lot longer if they had, like, let's say Fantasyland, we beat Alabama. Y'all will be here probably till Monday morning.
Yeah. We did this on voluntary reaction the other night. Let's do it again. Everybody, unless you're driving – close your eyes for just a second. All right. Got your eyes closed. Now just go. Let's go ahead and indulge the fantasy for just a minute.
Don't do this to yourself.
Just a minute. Just a minute. Tennessee beats Alabama. Biggest win maybe since 98. I don't know. The last time you won a championship. One of the biggest wins of program history. Program defining moment. Okay, that's enough. Back to Realityville. Okay, they've just smacked us. Saban called off the dogs halfway through the third quarter. We lost 56-7. All right. Hopefully nobody's hurt. Let's go play South Carolina. See if we can get that dub. Phil, you're up next on the drive. Good afternoon, Philly.
Why are you saying that? Then let's pretend again, huh?
I mean, like, just we can fantasize about it. I mean, I literally took 30 to 45 seconds to consider what it might feel like to beat Alabama. Is that, like, we can all do that, right?
How many years has it been since we moved?
It's 12, right?
2006?
Yep.
I think it'll be 20 years from when we beat them.
You got to get rid of Saban first. I mean, that would be the first thing is you got to get rid of him. And he's showing no signs of slowing down. What do you think Saban's got? Probably, I would say, 5 to 10 years left. At least 5 years, right? He's not going anywhere. Still on.
He said he's not.
That's pretty depressing, isn't it? As much as Florida has a stranglehold over us, Alabama has too. Except for that 9-year run Fulmer had. They pretty much have on the series up until 1970.
And Tennessee football was still fun. During those streaks they've had against us. So, look, they own everybody, man. They care about it way too much down there. Those people are insane.
Roll down tide.
So, it gets back to what we've been talking about, Phil, is forget about Bama. It's a glorified NFL team. Nobody's beating them. We got to beat South Carolina, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Those are the teams we got to start beating. Until you reestablish dominance over those teams, it's pointless to even talk about catching Georgia, Florida, let alone Alabama.
Well, I got to congratulate Skullcan for finally, you know, beating Mississippi State.
You know, we're like 7-1 against them out of the last eight.
Yeah, they beat us the Dooley year in a shootout down there in 2012. We had Cordero Patterson and somehow lost that game.
Had Meatloaf on the sideline.
Yep.
But
can't beat Meatloaf, can't beat Urban, can't beat Muschamp.
Well, here we go in 2 weeks. Muschamp's going to be the game of the year.
I mean, it's just a huge game, right?
Yeah, it really is. I can't believe that they're having that on the same time as Auburn and LSU's on. That's kind of baffling to me. But
doesn't that stink?
If you look at who the 7 o'clock games are, it's, you know, Arkansas and Alabama.
They don't save them to play early. Remember, he was all upset, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, they do whatever he wants. So
I'd rather play South Carolina at noon. Haven't we done pretty good in the past playing them at noon?
I mean, we haven't done good against Muschamp at all. Butch beat them.
Well, they won 6 out last 9, South Carolina.
South Carolina's won 6 of their last 9 total or against us?
Against us.
He's right.
Golly, man.
Isn't that awful?
It's pretty bad.
South Carolina owns us. How is that even possible? They don't care. They don't care about football there.
Steve Spurrier.
Butch owned him. Spurrier never beat Butch. That's so stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, isn't it? You know, Butch is recruiting. It's starting to look to that back. He's seeing people are playing in the pros, doing good.
The narrative that it's the Butch players, I mean, that's the most idiotic thing. Like, the best players on this team are Butch Jones's guys. Jennings, Batuli, Trey Smith. The best football players on this year's team are Butch Jones's players. Like, he put plenty of guys in the NFL. Now, granted, like,
he did nothing with them while they were here, though. He'd still be here.
He didn't do nearly enough with them while he was here.
Yeah, he was a horrible coach. Kind of like a Buzz Peterson
football coach. What a great analogy. He's the buzzer to football.
Be kind.
Oh, well, speaking of basketball, how's the team look? Anybody know anything?
No.
Lamonte getting some hype this afternoon. He's on the Cousy Award watch list. And
what was it you said earlier, Jay? Eves Pons dunked a ball from the other side of the rim? Or?
Yeah, they threw a lob to the wrong side of the rim, and he still dunked it.
Really?
So, I mean, we got players. Rick Barnes really, you know, just – in typical Rick Barnes fashion, just kind of keeping a wrap. You know, you see John Calipari everywhere this time of year. He's doing all these interviews and all that stuff. And Rick Barnes is just in the lab working up whatever we're going to see this year. Yeah, we'll see it on the court here in a couple of weeks.
Well, I guess we'll find out this week about Jay Springer, won't we?
Yeah, I saw Rob Lewis said maybe tomorrow or Wednesday he's going to have a TV announcement.
Oh, is that what's going to happen?
I think so. He's coming here, Phil. We're getting him.
Yeah, then he'll get one more big guy to leave you one of the top 5 recruiting class.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. You know, we had this kid, Dylan Cardwell, in over the weekend, and it seems like he's kind of our fallback for P.J. Hall, who's coming in this weekend on an official visit. So, I mean, and Dylan Cardwell, I want to say he's like – he's not a top 100 player. He's a top 150 guy, like, you know, in the 110, 110s, somewhere in there. But, I mean, if that's the guy that we're slow playing now, I mean, that just tells you what level of recruiting Barnes is doing right now.
Yeah, and that 6'8 player out of California, Quino or something like that, that's another one they might be getting involved with. So they got some options to – they do need one quality big guy.
Sure.
It looks good. I just hope, well, let's forget about Alabama and focus on South Carolina. I just hope I wouldn't play anybody any good Saturday. I'd treat it like a scrimmage.
It's an off week, Phil.
There you go.
It's an off week. You just put in like all our walk-ons, just let them get maimed and mangled down there. Like a 240-pound starting offensive guard.
You start a quarterback.
Shrout. Let's give him a chance. You with me? Start Shrout at quarterback Saturday? Why not? See what he's got.
Yeah, Garantano.
See how many interceptions he can throw. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
For sports radio in the afternoon, this is The Drive.
Portions of the show today brought to you by Lloyd's Electric Services, the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance, infrastructure, and commercial building services. HVAC and refrigeration, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, residential, commercial, and industrial units and chillers. Telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your work. Their around-the-clock repair services are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Call Lloyd's today at 865-692-6700. Just go online to lloydselectricservice.com. Tim is in Vestal. Good afternoon, Tim.
Hey, what's going on, Phil?
What's up?
Doing a little silly. It's kind of funny you're talking about fantasizing about Alabama, and you know everyone's kind of like blah blah blah.
Wrong
whatever.
Damn tide.
That's right. I remember this was kind of before your time. Bear might remember this, but in 1982, Alabama came rolling up here. I think they were ranked number 2 in the country after Penn State, maybe. And Tennessee had had their backside handed to them by a Duke football team that year. And they beat them. I think it was like 35-28 or something like that.
Yeah, that like broke a 11 or 12-year streak, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
Bear Bryant died within like 6 months.
Miracles do happen. It's not, you know, it's probably not going to happen. But, you know, let's have a little positive thought here. I mean, come on. You never know.
That was the beginning of the talent influx that majors had had.
Exactly. Yeah, they had Willie Gauld and Alan Cockerell and all kinds of good people.
That was the original foundation for the 80s and 90s run.
Exactly. Exactly. And it sounds, I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but I'm just saying it's a very similar situation. So, you know, you never know.
I like the way you think, Tim. I mean, it's a nice glass half full, and just don't get your expectations too high.
Well, no, of course not. But I mean, it's kind of an eerily similar situation, you know.
I just want to beat South Carolina, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
Yep.
UAB.
Yep.
You go 6-6 this year. Listen, man, I've been pretty
we'll burn hard. Nashville down.
Why? I've been pretty darn hard on Pruitt. And
yeah, I have too.
I will.
I've been using foul language with him, so yeah.
I'll give him another chance here. Now, year 3 is still going to be a make or break year for him, I think.
Yep.
But
yep.
I'll feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, I just want to hand Vanderbilt their ass finally. I want to beat Muschamp, and I guess I go to a bowl game. That's just like, you know, that's like whipped cream on top, man.
There you go.
Anyway, I'll see y'all.
All right, Tim, appreciate the phone call. DC says, I'm sure y'all will spend an entire show breaking this down at some point. Big high school game this week, Bear.
You going with us?
With who?
We got a crew of people going.
I'll go if you got a crew. Region 3, 5A showdown. This is basically for the region championship. My West High Rebels, undefeated, 7-0. Travel to the north side of town. Take on Powell.
Panthers.
Take on Powell. Go up there and get some hump hammers. Go up to Powell. 7-0. It's going to be a darn hoot nanny, as they say, Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be a Donnybrook, a melee, a tussle. I don't know what to think about it, man. I don't know what to think about it. I'd feel much better if the game were at 3300 Sutherland Avenue.
Used to be the best field in town until they let the they put that stupid field turf down.
Eh, everybody's got that stupid field turf now, you know?
Mm.
Easier to maintain. You don't have to see. I used to see my high school coach, Bill Wilson.
Hell of a
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
Used to be out there. I mean, he would be like Fridays mowing the darn grass on a lawnmower and see him up there mowing the field.
I bet coach would rather be doing that than, you know, inside.
And teaching idiots like me how to drive, which he did that too.
Golly. How many menaces? Road menaces did he turn loose
did you have Knoxville? Driver's ed, like, in was that a thing when you were in school?
Yeah, I took it once. We did it during the summer.
We did it as a class, and they had these minivans. It was like a Dodge Caravan or something
with the extra brake over
yeah, and so like the he would ride shotgun,
yeah,
and all he had was the brake.
You ever have to hit the brake for you?
I don't think he ever had to hit the brake for me. But I remember, like,
you're in the car with somebody when they.
Yeah, I remember, like,
remember riding around. That was the worst part, riding around while somebody else.
Yeah,
was
this
driving.
Poor girl's like driving the car, and it's like rainy out, and she starts spinning out all over the place. I think we're in the middle of Kingston Pike or something, and she's fishtailing, and Coach Wilson's up there, and just like calmly, as if he's turning the page of his newspaper, just gently applies the brake, reaches over with his left hand, and just kind of. Like, very loosey-goosey, just kind of grabs the steering wheel. And just kinda,
right.
We're all back there, like, white knuckle.
Blood runs red on the highway.
And he's just like, slow on down there, sweetheart.
I have some jaking news here before the break.
Let's go to the jaking news desk here, Fox Sports Knoxville. Jake Lester, what do you have?
Got an update on my ESPN app on my phone that said Jeremy Pruitt believes Brian Maurer will be ready to go against Alabama on Saturday.
Yeah, he said that he took some reps in practice.
You really think he'll play him? Or do you think he's just saying that?
I think if he took some reps last night at practice.
I mean, if he's a starter and medical staff clears him, you start him.
Boy, you remember what happened when to Garantano the last time. That was where the legend of the Black Knight began to take off. Yeah, right. I think it was the last play of the first half. He just got smeared.
There was a Bama guy coming in high, right? And he hit him high, and then another guy just speared him at the same time. Is that the play?
It was the last play of the first half down there.
Two dudes hit him. He got the ball off, and then he just was exposed and got blown away.
He got blown away Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, at some point, I always thought it was just bad luck, but at some level, it's on him, right?
No.
Just to see. Yes, it is.
Absolutely, it is.
Here's the thing with Maurer is, as we saw Saturday, we didn't get to see this against Georgia because they're too fast, too good.
Right.
But his ability to run changes the game.
I haven't had that since
Dobbs.
Dobbs, yeah.
And so he's going to be able to do that. And I don't think he's going to run it as much as Dobbs, but he's going to have three or four opportunities a game to cut it loose and pick up big yards on the ground with his legs. I don't know. If this game is just unwinnable this week, I don't know that I want him out there running around and taking a shot because we have to have him for South Carolina. We have to. We can't win. We can't beat South Carolina with Garantano. No offense, JG. Love what you got done Saturday, but we can't win that game with him. Mm-mm. We can win it with Brian Maurer. And if he gets hurt, in an unwinnable game against Alabama, well, what have you done? So this, I don't know. I mean, like I jokingly, half jokingly say we treat this like an off week game. Don't play Maurer. Don't risk it. But it's not that easy for Jeremy Pruitt. He's got to look those guys in the eye because they want to win. They want to put together a game plan to go down there and win. And like if you don't do that, that's a bad look too. So what do?
Start him.
I think you start him. But you be careful about it. You tell them, don't run, man. Get rid of the ball. Protect yourself.
Slide.
Get rid of it. Protect yourself.
I mean, Lane Kiffin went right at Bama, and you see how that went.
But yeah, well.
If he can fire his guys up. I'm not saying we're going to win, but it might not be so bad.
Run the ball. Keep that clock moving. Try and shorten the game. That's all you can do, man. Stay with us. The drive continues. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. 546-8200. More of your phone calls coming up.
Looks like you're one of the lucky ones. You're listening to The Drive.
Nick Saban announcing receiver Devontae Smith will miss the first half of the Tennessee game after he was ejected from the Texas A&M game for throwing a punch.
So that is how that works, like targeting, correct?
Yeah, that pretty much evens out the toe-to-toe loss for us.
Yeah, something like that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even.
He'll just throw it to Judy or Ruggs or
Waggle
Najee
or
Harris.
Waddle or whatever the hell his name is.
Record Ridge Barbecue Smoke. Question was Tennessee's win Saturday more about the Vols playing well or Mississippi State being awful? 63% of the audience says it's about Tennessee being good. 37% says it's about being bad. Depleted says all of you saying Vols good. Don't do this to yourselves. State is bad. Just because we won a game doesn't mean we're good. Yeah, man, I mean, I've been wrestling with that all weekend. It's like, on the most simple level, you just want to be glad that you won a game and just enjoy it and savor it. But on a larger scale, trying to decipher what does it mean? How good are we? How improved are we? I don't know. It certainly improved since Georgia State, man. Like, you're getting effort, and that's the biggest thing to me is, you know, you're 1-4. It's a perfect time for if a team's going to quit, you quit at 1-4, right? That's when you pack it in, and the guys clearly haven't done that. And I don't think they're going to do that if Bama puts on us the way we think they might put it on us. But it all comes back to this South Carolina game, and it's such a huge game. Dan Mullen, by the way, who did not cover himself in glory Saturday night. What was he thinking? Did we all watch Florida LSU Saturday night? So, I mean, they're going toe-to-toe with LSU in Death Valley. It's right. Back and forth. It's turning into a shootout. Trask takes them down the field. They score. LSU gets the ball back, goes down the field. They score. Kicks the ball to Florida. About 10 minutes left in the game. And he sends Emory Jones out there for an entire series. Now, he'd been playing Jones a little bit in goal line situations here and there. But to just send him out there, I thought it totally disrupted Florida's the flow of the game. It was a three and out, and by the time they got the ball back, first of all, they're backed up, and second of all,
it's later in
the game, so they like you can't even pretend you're going to run it. And LSU was able to pin their ears back, get in Trask's face, and he wasn't able to make the plays that he needed to.
Right, but when they did that, Florida came out and scored first, and LSU scored, and what it did was it let LSU get a touchdown ahead where Florida was playing catch up for the rest of the game, and I'm in awe of LSU's offense.
I mean, they're great, but I was very impressed with Florida because I kind of feel like they had their. I don't know that they should have won that game, but they definitely had their chances. And I thought it was very self-inflicted. Some baffling decisions from Dan Mullen down there. And
for all the shade you've thrown at Coach O, He is third on the list, coaches with wins versus top 10 teams.
Well, what does that tell you?
You don't know what you're talking about?
What else does it tell you? I mean, we knew that.
LSU, sorry, Russ.
It's about players. Yeah. Got to have players. Are you going to sit here and tell me that Ed Orgeron is some strategic mastermind?
Nobody was smart enough to get really good coordinators, and he recruits like hell.
Hey, you want to hear something interesting? We might have lost to Georgia State, but since they've lost to Troy, Coach O is 22-5, and all five losses have come against ranked opponents.
I mean, he's done a phenomenal job there. And it's kind of what Dabo has done.
Feel like you owe him an apology.
I mean, I will admit that I was wrong about him not getting it done, but I'm not going to apologize. The guy's a troglodyte. I mean, he looks like he should be dragging a club.
So you're doubling down.
I'm just stating, Russell. I'm stating a fact. Ed Orgeron. Caveman.
To those Cajun listeners here on the drive, I apologize on behalf of Russell.
I apologize for nothing. I mean, it's...
And be careful. Don't ever apologize for one of us.
It's a straight-up observation. I mean, am I wrong? Am I wrong? Is Ed Orgeron a caveman?
He's a swamper, for sure. I mean, he's swamp man.
Does Ed Orgeron wear Velcro shoes?
Probably.
Does it?
I mean, can he spell cat?
If you're in the locker room, pregame, and you're about to go out there and play a huge game, would you rather have some guy say, "All right, let's get after it. Do our best."
I don't think that's what Pruitt says in the locker room.
What do you think he says?
I think it's probably closer to what Orgeron says. You see where one of his players periscoped?
Orgeron?
Yeah.
They did? Oh, I got to see it.
For just a second.
In the locker room?
Yeah.
It's just mayhem?
It's him dropping a lot of F-bombs about the Gators.
Not shocking.
Every Gator.
David says, would Bear still take Moorhead over Jeremy Pruitt?
No.
You'll walk that one back.
Yeah, absolutely. That guy's an idiot.
Certainly not.
So, SEC coach power rankings, we're not last anymore.
No, we're not last. I mean, who are some coaches you wouldn't take over Pruitt?
That idiot Joe Moorhead.
Derek Mason.
Matt Luke. Derek Mason. Chad Morris?
No, I wouldn't take him. Matt Luke, no.
What about Mark Stoops?
He's done okay with what he's had.
He's done pretty good.
I'd take Mason I wouldn't necessarily rule Mason out. He ain't got much
over
to
Pruitt.
He ain't got much to work with up there.
What is Derek Mason's resume? Like, where did he come from?
Defensive coordinator at Stanford.
Yeah, he put some pretty good. His claim to fame was he was the defensive coordinator at Stanford when. Harbaugh was there?
Harbaugh. He coached, and I'm pretty sure he was lead recruiter for Sherman.
They shut down Oregon a couple of times when Oregon was routinely going 11-1.
Shut Oregon down.
Yeah, he had the cheat code for some reason.
Was he the D.C. when they beat USC? 23-17, right?
Not sure.
I would want to say yeah. Just simply, I mean, he was just.
That was Harbaugh. Harbaugh's. Stanford.
DC says, you have to respect Jay Train's wool. It's been at least 15 years since I was that positive about UT sports. Jay Train with a very pro Pruitt, pro UT phone call in hour number one, in case
who
you missed
has
it.
Got who's got a thicker, more luxurious coat of wool, Jay Train or Roger? Do you imagine a wool off between the two of those?
Wool off. Oh man, I don't know, maybe we can arrange it.
Roger thinks they're going to beat Alabama.
Like in football this year?
Yeah.
He's talking about basketball? I mean, I don't know.
No. He's talking about the sport of football. Maybe we'll hear from Roger later.
Like American tackle football, not soccer?
Yeah.
It's a club game or something coming up. All right. Citizens National Bank offering free checking where you can earn 1.75% annual percentage yield. And get free ATM fee refunds. Oh, man. Gotta love those free ATM fee refunds, free checking account, free internet banking, free bill paying, and free e-statements with no minimum balance requirement. Citizens National Bank offering extended evening hours and Saturday banking for a branch near you. I mean, these folks go the extra mile. CNBTN.com. That's CNBTN.com for Citizens National Bank. Our phone number, if you want to jump on the drive, is 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Coming up, so we have to address the turd in the punch bowl. I mean, I don't know if you could call that football what my Titans.
Oh, God, I can't wait for this one.
Did yesterday in Denver. I don't know what you would call that. It certainly wasn't football. But where do you go after that? You get shut out by a not very good team on the road like that. And you got some issues you have to address. And Marcus Mariota era might be officially over. Stay with us. The drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up.
I told you there'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear, cruise along with you. Trey Wallace. Oy. Hashtag pray for Trey. And folks, I talked to my dude this morning. He sounded awful. He sounded awful when I saw him on Thursday. We sent him home. Turns out he has the flu. Been telling you the flu is going to be bad this year. The CDC is predicting one of the worst flu seasons on record. And I'm telling you, do what Bear and I did Friday, National RX. We got flu shots. And you need to do it because I'd forgotten about this too. Like it takes, they say, 2 weeks for it to kind of take effect in your body.
Right.
So do it now because the flu's already here. And Trey said he had just a hell on earth type weekend. Said it
well,
was just
the
miserable.
Rest of us that were here on Thursday have until tomorrow. Before we're clear.
Oh, in case he gave it to us?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. You feeling okay? You would know by now. I mean, that was Thursday, right? The
not,
incubation process
what,
takes, what 4 days?
I can't believe I can't remember her name. At a National RX, she told us.
Beth?
Yeah, Beth said she looked at me on Tuesday.
Okay. I think we'll be okay. But don't take any chances, folks. National RX in Farragut. It's a great opportunity. If you can show us some love, man, we would really appreciate it. They have been a longtime supporter of the show, and they've got your flu shots. They are free with most insurance plans. Bear and I both got it out there on Friday. You can go in there anytime. Let them know that you want a flu shot. Tell them you heard me talking about it right here on the radio, and they'll hook you up there. And don't forget, highly contagious the flu is. Infants and the elderly are highly susceptible. It's not just about you. Protect yourself and your loved ones by getting your flu shot this year at National RX 11-134 Kingston Pike in Farragut, right next to Wendy's on Kingston Pike. They're online at nationalrx.com. All right, so, yeah, the Titans game, like, This is the thing that I do appreciate about the NFL is I can't quit you Tennessee football. Like Vols, no matter how bad it gets, I just have to, first right. of all, we're doing a post game show, so I have to watch the game. It's a professional obligation. The Titans, I've done this several times over the years. Like when it's not going with the Titans, I just turn it off and leave.
I watched the whole thing and enjoyed it.
Yesterday was weird though, because I was over at my folks' house for a Sunday night dinner. Man, and it was like one of those train wrecks you just can't look away from. It was just like, are they really going to? And then by the end of it, Tannehill's in, and you're thinking, man, I would hate for them to score. When you're working on a masterpiece like that, just a masterpiece of ineptitude.
Right.
You got to go ahead and finish the deal, right?
Well, yeah, I was watching intently because I picked up Denver's defense. In the Station Fantasy League, and they got me.
What'd they get, like 25 points?
I think it was like ended up with like 20 maybe.
Dang.
Led me to victory over Cam, Talk Sports producer.
I'm wishing I'd signed up for this league. That would be fun. Oh, well. I've already got one. Improving to 6-0 in my league.
Who'd you beat the snot out of? Nagy?
Former our boy Mike Griffith.
The Shepherd.
Bent him over a barrel and showed him the 50 states this week. Get you some of that, Griff. Double whammy for Griff. Bulldogs go down. And then he gets slapped around by Dubsy. Oh.
You're talking about fantasy football. Let me just clear that up.
What are you talking about?
I feel like it was just unclear that.
You thought I actually physically assaulted Mike Griffith.
That's on the table.
No.
Stop. Just kidding. We hadn't talked to Mike in a while.
The Titans are a debacle, man. And here's where I'm at with the quarterback thing. Everybody's wondering, should you just start Tannehill? Mariota's been up and down. I would go ahead and ride with him because he's going to have better games and he's going to be able to win some games or whatever. But I would not give him another contract, man. I would offer him, you know, maybe a much smaller. I'm not offering him a big deal, and if he bolts, he bolts. But I would.
It'd be stupid enough to take him.
I'm drafting a quarterback in the. I mean, you know, who'd be stupid enough to take Ryan Tannehill? Like, look around the league. There are bad quarterbacks everywhere. I don't think Mariota's a bad quarterback, but he's obviously peaked as a player with the Titans. And I'd go draft somebody. Go back to the drawing board, see what the draft has to offer. I think we might need a new head coach, too, because that guy, speaking of troglodytes, Ed Ogeron and Mike Vrabel, they could live in the same cave together, just do cave paintings with finger paint, for all I care. Hour number 3 coming up. Stay with us.